So let me say a little bit more about the organization of the day and then go into the first theme of our practice, which is this theme of settling and stabilizing attention. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So the day is one of a practice, so again, primarily silent practice, but also with some periods of guidance and teaching. I've divided the day into two segments in the morning, more or less, and two segments in the afternoon. Each of those two segments in the morning will be divided, around a walking period. So we'll have a more or less an hour and a quarter segment, then a walking period of about half an hour, then segment two, meaning that we're in the hall, and then after that we'll have about an hour for lunch, planned roughly between 12:30 and 1:30. I'll try to keep to the schedule as much as possible. And then we come back at 1:30 and we'll have a third segment, and then a walking period of half an hour, and then a fourth segment of about an hour, and finish at 4:30. And is everyone intending to stay for the whole day? Anyone not? Okay, so yeah, that's okay. So that's helpful, because that can build a strong container to know we're all staying here. The theme of the retreat that we developed really in consultation is practicing with thoughts and emotions, including difficult ones. And this was partly chosen in relationship to the holiday period, which has already started and which will be continuing, more contact with loved ones, pointing to the need for skillful work with thoughts and emotions. So that's partly the motivation, but it's also the way I'm structuring the day really points to the fundamental aspects of our practice. The theme for this first segment, we're in that now, is settling and stabilizing attention related to developing stability of mind, what we sometimes call concentration or samadhi, and a prerequisite really for seeing more clearly, for cutting through our automatic mind, for seeing our habits and so forth. I'll say more about that in a moment. So this first part is on stabilizing attention, giving more guidance on that, more energy to that stabilizing, which we'll be really continuing to return to throughout the day, because we continue to look for greater stability of mind. And it's, again, one of the great benefits of our practice that we can have this greater calm and peace in mind and body and heart. And we'll carry that also through the walking. The second segment and the third segment, we'll be focusing particularly on practicing with thoughts and emotions. In the second segment, there'll be a focus especially on mindfulness of thoughts and emotions, of ways to be skillful noticing what's there with thoughts and emotions, but more generally with tendencies of our mind. And this is where we enter more into the focus on mindfulness, on the practice of insight, and where we really connect both with traditional teachings and finding ways to apply it in the contemporary world. So in that second segment, we'll be focusing on how can we be mindful of the thoughts that are present, the emotions that are present, but also seeing when there are certain tendencies of mind, seeing when there is greed, hatred, or delusion, and then developing insight also into some of the nature of our experience, noticing when there's reactivity, tracking impermanence, and so forth. And this is really the heart of our practice, is being able to be mindful of the constituents of experience and to be skillful with the challenging ones, to see more clearly where there's greed, hatred, or delusion, where there's reactivity, and then to open to some of the deeper qualities of our being, to open to the stability of mind, the ease, the rest, the heartfulness, the kindness, and the clear seeing. So, which is really what I've just described is really the is an overview of the pretty much the entirety of our practice. We stabilize attention, and then we learn to see clearly. And as we see clearly, we develop really what we could call awareness that frees. We develop greater freedom and skill at responding to our life moment by moment, both when we're quiet and then, as it were, off the cushion or off the chair. In the third segment, particularly focus on difficult thoughts and emotions, our favorites. You know, so we'll see what we want to focus on, but I have some preparation if we want to focus on the judgmental mind, anger, fear, and various forms of reactivity. Preparing us for the holidays. As well, we'll give room for joy and peace and so forth as well. Okay, and then, so that's the third segment. And the fourth segment will be a little briefer, and it'll be more on integration. How do we bring what we've been doing so far in the day into daily life? Again, there'll be short teachings on those themes. The bulk of the time will be silent. And I'll be giving us some guidance also for a silent lunch, I think, which can really help with the practice. And the hour, we have an hour for lunch. You may take, if you have your lunch with you, you may take 20, 30 minutes to eat. You may want to then take a nap or take a walk or whatever to have a little bit. You might have half an hour to practice as you wish. Napping is part of practice. Okay. Now, we don't have great napping facilities, do we? No. So you'll have to make do. But fine to do it in here in some way. Okay. And we'll finish. I'll finish pretty precisely at 4:30, just to make it work for everyone with schedule. So, any questions about the schedule or the day? Yeah.
Where's your book?
Oh, my book is on the table over here. And I also have my teaching schedule and a few other flyers, including Oren probably gave his flyers for his mindful communication class. I brought those as well. My schedule, a reading list, a few flyers for upcoming retreats, and then a sign-up sheet if anyone wants to get my very, very occasional emails, like two or three times a year. Okay. They're over on this table, and they'll be there all day. Any other questions about the schedule or logistics? And one question I have, Sarah, do we have any room here where I could go if I wanted to just meet with people? Yeah, we can show you. So we'll see. You know, I want to invite. You know, we'll have walking periods if people feel called to do sitting, or stay a little longer. That's fine, right? You can really, you know, you're all pretty experienced practitioners. So really, you can. You know, sometimes, if you want to stay sitting a little longer, that would be appropriate. You don't have to exactly follow schedule. This is how insight meditation differs from Zen. If this was Zen, we would say, okay, we're together. So, okay. So a few more words about the settling and stabilizing of attention. In the original language, this is samadhi, usually translated by concentration, by the word concentration, which is a problematic translation, not a great translation, because the word concentration can suggest to us a lot of effort, sometimes striving, and even straining. Really concentrate. Right? Whereas the quality of samadhi is actually one more of ease. And a better translation might be developing composure. Composure is one translation. Another is, that's traditional, is the unification of, we could say, of mind and heart and body. There's a certain integration of our being that occurs with samadhi. And so that challenge with the translation points to one of the challenges in our practice of settling or stabilizing, which is that we may tend to over-effort. And again, as I mentioned in the instructions, we can tell sometimes whether there's over-effort because there can be a feeling of strain, even some pressure in the head or in the face or in the body. And we want to find that balance between the firm effort, which keeps coming back, which is crucial and essential, and the easeful, what we can call a kind of receptive effort, that when there's enough of the staying with the object, the breath or some other focus point, there can be a very relaxed quality to it. And so that is something you can repeat to yourself and really ask yourself, do I tend more towards over-effort or under-effort? Am I tending to, you know, be more lost in my thoughts, my ruminations, in which case the active effort can be very important and helpful. The active effort can mean counting the breath, if you're working with the breath, or saying in and out. We can count 1 to 10 and then back to 1. We can say in and out. Quality of developing a little more active effort can also be linked with being more precise about what thought or emotion or state is there. Using labels, for example, if we have repetitive thoughts, for example, I go to whatever, this thought about this relationship, I can give it a label. That helps me in a way to notice it more quickly. And this is an aspect of the settling process. So I can use labels for my top 5 or my top 10. I can also use labels for that help me to know what's happening. In the practice of developing stability and settling, we just keep coming back to the object. Whatever else is occurring, we keep coming back, and we have that certain degree of settling. And then we start, when there's some degree of settling, we open up to to whatever is occurring. And that's where we start moving into the mindfulness of thoughts and emotions. But a preliminary kind of mindfulness, even when we're in the settling, is to notice, to give a label, this thought is occurring, this emotion. Not to have it be too detailed, but to maybe have our top 5 personal items and maybe 5 or 6 most common thoughts and emotions. It can be sadness. Joy can be judgmental mind, can be, again, repetitive thought about this or that. And so we don't so much approach those with the aim of banishing the thoughts, but rather just to notice them. Ultimately, the development of more stability is essential for seeing clearly. Again, we all have a certain amount of conditioning which leads to us being often preoccupied. And again, in our cultural conditioning is to think a lot. And even with the increased electronic media, we're often, especially in a mental realm, a good part of the day. And so when we sit, it's natural that that's going to be occurring a fair amount. And so we want to work with that. We want to be able to work skillfully with that And for a lot of us, a major emphasis in our practice is just having the automatic mind get more quiet. Certainly was the emphasis of my practice initially. And I found that compared to when I started practice, I think maybe 20% as much as I did when I started practice, maybe less. And it's better quality. You know. So the concentration or the stabilizing the attention is the essence, or the main reason for it is to be able to see clearly. It has a lot of other wonderful benefits, though. As we stabilize attention more, we also can develop more of a sense of peace and calm, which gives a lot of pleasure, which can actually motivate us to keep practicing. So the stable, concentrated mind, heart, and body opens us up to quite a bit of pleasure and even bliss. And it can be quite wonderful and to calm. And as we go deeper, we can go into quite beautiful states. It also, as we deepen, it does give a kind of unification of our mind and body and heart, which is quite beautiful. And gives us also a sense of a kind of peace that is actually accessible through our own being, that we don't have to, as our conditioning suggests, look outward for happiness, but that actually the elements of peace and of understanding are there right in our being. And that this stabilizing of attention can open us up to this calm, this peace, which is one of the great treasures of life. And so that the stability, as we develop that, can open us up further in that way. Maybe one or two more things, and I'll see if there are questions, and we'll go back into our silent practice. Because we have so much mental conditioning, for a lot of people, the calming of the body and actively working with the body can play a very significant role in steadying the mind. And for that reason, as I put in the description for today, I'm going to do some Qigong practice. We'll also do the walking practice. That body practices may be something you want to bring in more to your own personal practice. You know, so for example, something like Qigong or walking can be very effective, especially if your mind is quite active. To do a body practice like walking meditation or Qigong or Tai Chi or yoga before you do sitting meditation may be very, very skillful. And for a lot of people I work with, that is actually very, very helpful. It also can be, we also may sometimes use to help stabilize and quiet the mind, a heart practice like metta, loving kindness, or compassion. You know, and when the mind is agitated and not peaceful, maybe there's been something difficult that's happened with a relationship, the body practices and the heart practices can be very skillful ways to stabilize. So when we have that agitation of mind or very, very active minds, sometimes it's actually not the most skillful thing just to sit with it, to sit immediately. It can be more skillful sometimes to do a body practice or to do a heart practice. If there's some relational difficulty, to go into metta or compassion for myself, for both of us, in the case of two people, can be very skillful, or forgiveness practice, which I think we've done here. We've done here maybe a year or two ago, did forgiveness practice. So these heart practices and the body practices are very significant tools to help us steady and stabilize the mind. It's not just the concentration practice, not just the mindfulness practice. And so I want to have us explore that by doing short Qigong practices, as I've done on Sundays, maybe for 10 minutes, right I'll do one after we come back from walking this morning, and I'll do one right after lunch, just about 10 minutes to sit in. And it's going to be very individual, so we each know individually, we have to know individually, what are my characteristic ways that I go into habitual patterns of thinking particularly, or of reaction, what are those, and what helps me to stabilize? It's going to be different individually. We have to, a lot of practice is trial and error. And so this element of interest and curiosity in our own minds is really key. Because we have to say, hey, how does this work? How does this particular mind work? And what's skillful for me to come to greater steadiness? And that's why I'm really suggesting several different tools. We have to say, what works for me? What's useful for me? So I'll end there and just see, have a few minutes if there's a question about anything I said or about this element of, or this practice of steadying and stabilizing attention. Or doesn't have to be a question, could be a comment or a reflection. And possibly about what's been especially helpful for you. Yeah, Corey.
Well, I'll just say that I appreciate the definition of concentration being integrating the mind, body, and spirit, and not having such a contraction sense to it, and having more spaciousness. That's always been really helpful for me, because I used to do so much breath practice that was so contracted.
Right.
It never worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Corey. Yeah, that emphasis on the kind of the relaxed and even spacious quality of concentration. And again, that I had exactly the same tendencies when I was first practicing. Fortunately or unfortunately, it did work for me. I could get very concentrated, but it was like like that. And if anyone relate to that? Yeah. So very, very common. And and that has its use up to a certain point, but can we relax? Can we, again, in guiding oneself here and during the during one's daily practice, just if we keep asking the question, is it too tight or too loose? That's a very good question to ask. Again, so you see that with practice, there's a way that the habitual mind keeps on talking, but we also have almost like we have what we might call the meditative mind, which guides us, right? Which doesn't think a lot, but just says, might ask a question at a key time, too tight or too loose, right? And so we're not aiming for like just total stillness, no thinking. We need a certain kind of thinking to keep guiding us, to ask important questions. What's happening right now? What's going on? What's skillful right now? And so that quality of the mind is very crucial for practice. And I think it can be a widespread misunderstanding among meditators that we should just have total stillness and no thinking. That a certain amount of thinking is actually crucial. And without it, actually, we'll get a little bit caught. Because those asking of questions, the curiosity, the interest, what's going on? What's skillful right now? Of course we can overdo that. But a certain skillful questioning and thinking is a crucial part of practice. I want to encourage that today. You know, as you're walking, sometimes you can stop and just say, too tight or too loose, right? Or during the sitting, you can ask that question. Yeah.
I just want to make one comment. One of the things I found very helpful was doing a residential retreat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be going about whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever really had that with the continuity until I did one.
Yeah.
And so even if I don't always have it during my day.
Yeah.
I know what the flavor of it's like, and once I had the flavor of it, it's easier to find it when I'm not on retreat.
Yeah.
So I would encourage, and Marin Sangha does encourage people to, if you haven't done a residential retreat, to try one, because that was the best experience for seeing what that would be like.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. So the importance of residential retreats, that they can develop one's degree of stability, or call it concentration, significantly. I remember my first retreat that I did, I had the subjective sense that this moved my practice along the equivalent of 2 years of daily practice, right, in terms of development and deepening. And it can also give you a taste of what's possible. And then, as you were mentioning, also the value of, very crucial, is to have some ways of keeping this thread of continuity in daily life. Here I want to just invite, see how to do that during the day here. Again, there are different ways to do it. Can be, for some, it can be to be with the breath, even in a light way. It could be maybe the breath is 20% or 30% as you do other things. Or it could be just some light awareness of the body, or be at a meeting and have one's hands on one's knees and feel the hands. And what it does is it takes you out of the automatic mind. Because you have 10 or 20% elsewhere, the automatic mind is not happening in the same way. And that's huge, right? So it could be some degree of body awareness, some being with the breath. Different people would do different things. Some people would have a kind of chant going. I have friends who do chanting. That kind of stays with them a good part of the day. We don't teach that so much, but it's really, again, it's going to be individual. But what helps you have a sense of continuity of awareness? And we can talk more about daily life at the end of the day, but for here, let's just see, can I keep continuity with the walking, with the meals, going to the bathroom, and so forth? Okay.